Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me yet again today. It's very, very cool of you. If you haven't been here before, welcome to the show. I greatly appreciate you being here, and I think you might dig it. If you have been here before, which most of you have, welcome back. I hope wherever you are at this moment, your summer is treating you well. And yeah, I mean, we've all got things to do, so why don't we just get right into it? Today's guest is an experienced entrepreneur and former beauty queen who now works with businesswomen to equip them with the right tools and knowledge to excel at life and business. After winning the Miss Singapore title for the second time, she started a retail coffee chain called Coffee Nowhere. From 2014 to 17, they grew this company to 60 employees across three countries before having a successful exit from the business and industry. Then in 2015, she founded Soul Rich Woman, now Southeast Asia's largest network of female entrepreneurs, with over 12,000 members across 15 countries. Now, let's hack Janisha Allura. So over in this part of the world, it is summertime. With summertime comes longer days. With longer days comes longer nights. And in those longer nights, sometimes we spend them with friends or with business meetings or just maybe at a concert. And sometimes when we do that, we also maybe have a little bit too much to drink the night before. And then potentially just regret it slightly in the morning. But luckily, there's a hangover product called Blowfish, and it absolutely works. Yeah, it's not one of these goofy products that just doesn't work. It's, in fact, the only hangover remedy that is recognized as effective by the FDA. You take it in the morning, drop two tablets in the water, and drink when the fizzing stops. If you don't feel better in 15 minutes or so, they'll give you your money back. Here's how to try it for yourself. Right now, they're offering our listeners 20% off at 4hangovers.com/hack. That's 20% off your first order of Blowfish at 4hangovers.com/hack. With our discount, it's only like a buck a hangover. $1, no brainer. Go to 4hangovers.com/hack. All right, let's get into the show. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very special guest, Janisha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. It's going to be a lot of fun, I believe. So let's jump into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Janisha, let's start here. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The biggest contributor to my success, having built a cafe retail chain across three countries, we have seven outlets and exited to a public listed company. And then now doing Soul Rich Woman with 12,000 women members and over 200,000 subscribers. The word here is consistency. Because consistency allows you to show up every single day and connect in the noisy world online so that you get your message out there, your story be heard, and then when someone sees themselves in your story online, that's when they connect with you, and that's how we grew the community, Soul Rich Woman.
So consistency, just like that.
Yes, one of the key things.
Or do you have to be consistent in the right things?
Well, definitely you need to invest in yourself, have a mentor, of course, have a group of like-minded women with you. Mentorship is definitely something that we want to look into so that you are steered in the right direction, especially when you're in the online space or when you're doing your business, right? So consistency comes because if you're not even consistent, no matter how the mentor guides you or kick your ass, you won't be able to move anywhere close to where your direction is or your goal is. So Here's two tips for you to find a good mentor to steer yourself with consistency so that you can reach your income goal or your vision, okay? First thing is find someone who can respect, whom you respect. Someone whom you idolize versus someone whom you respect is two different people, okay? Because someone whom you respect is someone when they say something to you, you're coachable, you're open, willing to receive the information, and not 1 year in and the other year the information goes out. It doesn't work that way. That means that partnership or that mentorship is not working out for you. So find someone whom you truly respect and will listen to, and you're fully open and coachable. The second way when you want to find a mentor is find someone whom has the end result that you want. There are two parts to this. One is a direct result. The other one is an indirect result. So for example, I'm really good in personal branding and helping women to launch their businesses online. So you get me as your mentor to find ways to launch online in the business world for women-led businesses successfully. Whereas if you say, okay, I want to launch into Southeast Asia and I want a group of like-minded women whom can support me to launch my business in Southeast Asia, what do I look for? Who do I look for? Then you look at the what we call the indirect result of the mentor, which is the community that we have built in the last couple of years. So that's something that you need to steer for consistency, marrying it with mentoring.
Are you coachable?
Sometimes. I'm pretty stubborn.
You're stubborn?
I am actually for an Asian woman, I'm actually quite outspoken. I have a lot of ideas. That's why I'm a business owner since 2006. I've been in business for 13 years and I have my own way of doing things. But you see, I've failed. I've gone to debts, six-figure debts, and I have succeeded running a cafe retail chain across three countries, exited to a public listed company, and then now built another community across Southeast Asia. I can tell you, stubbornness is one thing, but being open and coachable is a mentality and a mindset to tell yourself that, hey, why not learn from somebody who has been there, done that better, has the result that you want, and just be open so that you can go to the next level. The worst case in all business owners or business failures is because you choose not to learn anymore. You think you're the smartest ass in the room and you're not willing to be coachable.
Right. And so I agree, you need to be coachable, but you do also, I think to succeed, you need to be stubborn to a certain degree.
Yes.
Because sometimes people are going to tell you stuff and they might be smarter than you in some things, but they just don't understand what you're trying to do. And just because they tell you not to do it does not mean that they're right. Sometimes you just have to push forward and be like, nope, this is my gut tells me do this.
Yeah, definitely. My parents are not entrepreneurs. So in putting it this stubbornness into the context where you are not hanging out with the right people or like-minded people, that's why sometimes spouses and family members are the worst people, your critics that can be with you or supporting you along your entrepreneur journey. I mean, I was stubborn to move forward to, you know, become an entrepreneur since what, 2006, you know, when my parents said, why don't you just work? You're a woman, you know, you should be working for people, getting married and have kids and, you know, and not think about starting a business, right? But see, because of this stubbornness in this context, I was able to carve out a niche and my success in my own and fulfilling my dreams, right? So this is, if you put it into this context, it's workable. However, when you're talking about raising your business, you want to, you know, bring in investors, you want to grow your business regionally, and you want to really bring in more income or bring out, find more business partners that is relevant to your business to grow, then you need to be able to justify that level of stubbornness, right?
Right. So in 2006, Janisha, what did you have an idea for a business you wanted to start, or were you just like, I'm starting a business and I'm going to come up with one and do it?
I started working when I was 14 years old and I was an aerobics, yoga, and fitness instructor. So back then, backstory is I was already working and studying at the same time, putting myself through school. By the time I hit 2006, I was already an occupational therapist. Okay, for those of you listeners don't know what's occupational therapist. Okay, do you know physiotherapist? Okay, yes. Not your head. Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. So something like physiotherapist. All right, so I'm an occupational therapist.
Wow.
So back then, I have several set of skills. So I already was an instructor and I'm an occupational therapist. And in 2006, I won Miss Singapore. So I won Miss Singapore International. I represented Singapore. And then it was through this entire journey, I said, hey, I'm already making way more as an instructor than I was as an occupational therapist. And then when I was a beauty queen, when I became a beauty queen, I actually acquired skills of, you know, how do you do image consulting for people, right? So I said, hey, why don't I marry all these skills together, come up with my own program, and then find my own clients and grow my database from there. So that was when, with the title, it opened a lot of doors for me. So I started coaching and training more in the beauty and image area in 2006. And that was when I got in politicians, my clientele, so CEOs of companies, decision makers. And I was really blessed because I already, before 2006, already had another, 8-9 years of experience already doing training and coaching. So that skill set was very natural to me when I won Miss Singapore and then carrying it forward to my businesses and then growing my clientele and my income.
Nice. So you were starting as occupational therapy and doing training and stuff on the side, but then you won Miss Singapore and then you leveraged that sort of platform to increase how much you could charge for things and then also to go into an entirely new market.
Very well said.
Smart. I like
it. Yeah, it's all about leverage, you know? It's true. If you're not leveraging in business, then you're just slaving your time away.
Right, exactly. And it's noticing when you have those leverage points. I don't think everybody realizes it when they have them. Like, not everybody would become Miss Singapore and realize that that's a leverage point for starting businesses. They would get so caught up in that activity and just sort of, it would pass. And then they would look back 10 years later and be like, oh, I should have taken advantage of that.
Yeah, definitely. But I have a lot of girlfriends who are like Miss Philippines and Miss Hong Kong. They become celebrities in their own country. But in Singapore, we are quite what we call qualifications kind of base economy. Mm-hmm. We're only 53 years old. So kind of like, you know, that's how we grew. So definitely leveraging on what we have so that we can grow and maximize our time and maximize our income is definitely the way that I've learned as well.
So consistency is your one thing mixed with a bit of coachability and a bit of stubbornness. So everybody talks about these days about this whole 80-20 rule, Janisha. You find that 20% get the 80% of results. And they say, do what you're good and delegate the rest, which is kind of what we're talking about right now. Could you tell me something, Janisha, that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
This is a very good question. What I'm not very good at? I am not very good at being not very good. Yeah.
Wow. That's a good answer.
I am always thriving and striving to be a better version of myself. I mean, it's quite cliche, but it's true. I mean, I can't, like you earlier on, you said delegate everything, right? Almost like 80% of the stuff. And I have a team of 21 virtual assistants all across from Philippines to Malaysia to Dublin, Ireland. And I can tell you, leveraging resources and online is like heaven compared to those days when I was doing retail offline, like cafe retail chain. It's really a different ballgame altogether. And I can see that the leverage of delegation really helped me to become a better person because I can be in my zone of genius, focusing what I'm good at when I'm not, and I'm not very good at what I'm not very, being not very good when I'm not very good.
So are you technically savvy? Like, do you build your own websites?
Before, we have a team of 21 member staff. I did mostly everything myself back in 2012, 2013, when I first encountered the power of online. I mean, definitely I need to know my stuff because when I wrote out my SOP for delegation, I need to help my VAs succeed online is to know the process so that you can guide them to succeed. So I kind of like need to know all these things. So for me, yes, I am quite tech savvy to a certain extent and I'm really very blessed to be able to have acquired these skills online.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. What about hiring? Do you do the hiring yourself?
Yes. Hire slowly, fire quickly.
Oh, is it? Okay. So, but this is interesting. Like a team of 21 through, I guess, Southeast Asia. I mean, this is something that's been talked about for the last 5 years now or something online, right? We've everybody and almost everybody has tried it at least once, and 99.9% of them have failed.
Failed?
Due to their own, just, and I don't know what it is, whether it's the hiring process or it's the not firing quick enough, but what, like, what kind of process do you go through to make sure you hire the right people?
Oh, this is the secret. Okay, let me share with you how you can hire correctly, okay? First of all, most business owners don't know who they want and they don't know exactly what they want. So they have a tendency to hire someone to do every damn thing. So don't do that. You need to know exactly what skill sets you're looking for and then go zoom in and look for that one person who can perform that one task or that one skill set really well. Then when you interview the person, you need to have a checklist, okay? Interview set of questions to run through and know exactly how you can dig out some of the past information, cross-referencing, kind of stuff that you already do offline if you were to hire that person offline. Then don't hire the person first. Tell the person, hey, would you be open to do a project, say US $50 or US $100? I give you a project. Let's see whether we are a good fit. So based on your system and process, let's say you use a project management tool. Like for me, I control everybody on Asana, which is a project management tool. Okay. And basically I give the person a set of like tasks to do over a period of time. And I said, hey, let's try this and see how this works out. I give the person the process. I give the person, I don't assume the person knows everything. In fact, a lot of business owners assume that, okay, if you're a designer, you should know about what I'm thinking. No, they will not know what you're thinking. They are not mind readers. You have to direct them to leverage on their creativity, their eyes and their experiences and their hands to get the thing out for you. If you're hiring a video editor, like I have a couple of video editors on my team, so then what styles are you looking for? So get them to present a few styles for you, but first, give them some guidelines, help them to succeed. So within that US $50 or $100, if they cannot come up with whatever that you are asking for, possible two scenarios. First, either your instructions have failed terribly. Two, they really don't have the skill set to perform. Then you say, so sorry, I don't think you are a good fit. Thank you very much. Maybe better luck next time. So you wish them well and then move on. So that's a simple overview of the hiring process.
And you've paid them for the project, so it's fine. What is involved? Like when you get them to do this project, Janisha, do you walk them through your SOP or is it just here it is? It's all step by step. Go for it.
Okay. So for example, when I hire a video editor, so this is a very easy example. So I will give them, let's say, 3 to 4 videos of samples that I have found. And then I will write down SOP. That means like maybe a 10 step. Okay, step one, you do this. You give them a process. Because what I'm looking for is creativity, right? I'm looking for someone who is creative, who can put in the input to bring my ideas to life. So to bring the ideas to life, they must go through that SOP and then present their creativity. And then from there, I will do my selection. So that's how I go through the process. So yes, I do give them part of the SOP. They don't have to go through the full SOP because full SOP will confuse people like them.
Right.
And also you need to decide whether you are hiring a full-timer or a part-timer because what we call part-timer or freelancers are a little bit more task-oriented versus your full-timers are more process-oriented where they know that day in, day out, start at 8 a.m., what they have to do, and then by 5 p.m. when they finish, what they have to do in their end-of-day report, right? So that's how you manage everybody. And every week, you must have a weekly meeting, and then every month, have a monthly meeting. But every day, most importantly, do your team members know exactly what they have to do to give you the end-of-day report or deliver the deliverables as you have set for them every single month.
Wow. So it is consistent follow-up as well. I'm staying in touch.
Yeah.
Fair enough. what is involved in this original, like this checklist during the interview? Do you have something like this available for people, or is this something you just sort of evolve?
Well, you can actually go to my website. I have a list of 25 questions that you can download for free on my website, soulrichwoman.com, soulrichwoman.com. Go to my website, go look for 25 VA questions that you can ask during interviews. I'm sure those will be able to help you greatly.
Cool. Yeah, we'll find a link for that and add it to the show notes as well. I actually downloaded that the other day. So that's why I was hoping you would push that. And it's a good recommendation for everyone who wants to try and figure this process out and build up to a team of 21.
Yeah.
So with this team of 21, Janisha, let's move to projects. And so projects is a loose term, right? So that could be a whole new product you want to create. It could be a new marketing project, anything within yourself or your company that you want to do. But now you're not just spending your time and your team and just your time and resources. It's also your team's time and resources. So as somebody who's out there all the time, has a huge audience around them, I'm sure there's a ton of ideas of new things that you could do, you could try. I would love to know the process that you go through, Janisha, and whether that's a written process as well or just an internal gut process. But what process do you go through to filter through all the ideas and decide that this project is now worth not only your time, but also your team's time, energy, and resources?
In every business, it's an 80-20 rule. But my 80-20 rule will be 80% marketing, 20% operations. Every day I wake up, I ask myself, what is the 80% in sales and what is 80% of marketing things that we need to do? Ideas that can generate more income, more leads, more customers, and of course, impact the world. So when we come to the table every morning, I will sit down and I'll open up my, what we call the Asana dashboard, which is a project management tool. And then we'll look through the whole team, their tasks that they are doing right now. And at the end of the week, what are we moving towards? What are we congregating towards? Okay, so we'll take this idea, we'll go to the board, the drawing board. I'll actually have a partner in Soul Rich Woman, and I actually will discuss with him. His name is James. He was my mentor and he's still my mentor. And that's when he will ask me a lot of questions. That is why when I say when you have a business, you don't just be alone. Really need to have someone with you who is your best critic, who can tell you the truth. Exactly, are you doing the 80% of sales and marketing every single day? Or are you spending 80% in operations and hoping that just to do the 20%, that it will save you to do any projects at all? So let me give you a definite example. Say, because I also do Facebook Live every single day, we are at 2,108 episode on Facebook. Wow. And yeah. So what I can say is we need to prepare all this information, right? And to prepare all the live shows and stuff like that. But it's a pet project. It's not really a main part of the business. So the time spent on the Facebook Live is actually very little. However, it's like on top and above of the 80% that I need to put in on top of my daily ops and my daily marketing that we're doing, like Facebook ads and stuff that we're doing offline to reach out to more offline communities and online to work, you know, like do interviews like this. So it's a part and parcel to put everything together. Are you willing to go above and beyond the 80% to do more for your new project that you're thinking about doing?
Wow. So what your main focus for 80% on sales, is that selling existing products already and memberships, or is it also creating and coming up with new ones?
Ah, I love that question. So I have a calendar, and my calendar year, okay, plans to launch 4 products a year. And our products are all mainly online, basically digital products. And we have membership programs as well and stuff like that. So in my content calendar, I look at creating new products, but it's not every day, right? So every day is looking at my Infusionsoft, right? Okay, I mean, or my funnels, okay? Every day, my job is to look at the funnels. How well is it converting? I will look into it with the marketing team. I say, okay, what do we need to tweak? Is it the messaging? Is it the images? Is it what that we need to tweak? Is it the emails? How well are we converting within the emails itself? The emails are sent out. Are there people clicking? Are we tracking the link clicks? How many dropouts are there? And then how many new leads are we bringing in? So kind of a little bit, I mean, I'm not really numbers person, but definitely I'm trained now to ask these questions because data is everything in an online business.
Yeah, it really is. I guess the longer you're in it, the more you realize that, and you shouldn't just be making assumptions on what you should try and what you shouldn't or what you should change. It's just the data's there, all of it.
Yeah.
You just have to look at it.
That's why. So every day I'm literally looking at my current products. How well is it selling? You know, if it's selling okay or not okay, is it because of the messaging? So we always do A-B testing. We always look into how can we do better 1% every day.
Oh, I like that. How to do better 1% every day. So this is a great way to choose projects and how you're working and how you're sort of delegating it out to the team. So it's focus on sales and then also on operations on the side. But still, Janisha, as humans, as entrepreneurs, I think one of our greatest struggles is that fear of being wrong, especially in front of a large team. And that this assumption of what you should do, or like even looking at the data and you say, okay, we should do this. And you go that direction and find out the data comes back and it did not work. Can you right now, Janisha, tell me how to be wrong?
How to be wrong? Keep running until your bank account look like your phone number.
Just keep running until that happens? Wow.
Yeah, if you're wrong, then just okay, fine, then just move on and just keep running until your bank account looks like your phone number, right?
So that's it. It just brush it off and keep going.
Yeah, just keep improving and always be open to know that mistakes are not because sometimes it's your own. It could be because of other external reasons. You know, don't be too bothered about it. But in our Chinese culture, we always say that as the boss of the company, we take on all responsibilities. That means even your staff or your team of 21, whatever mistake that they make, actually the mistake is yours. It's not theirs. Because if you blame them, this is a very cultural thing, okay? So let me just put it into context. The moment you blame the staff and say, this is your freaking fault, the staff will say, okay, since you've scolded me, then I will not even bother about whether I'm doing it right or not. So the way for you to be good, okay, overcome all these mistakes is to recognize that there are responsibilities for you as the founder or the CEO or the boss of the company. And then as your team grow, there are bound to be mistakes. Just accept them and just keep moving. So that because being a leader, you chose to be in the position, right? You chose to lead. So if you are empowered to lead, then take responsibility and just keep moving, because people will follow and people love to follow leaders.
I love it. I love it. All right, Janisha, this has been an absolute blast. I would love to wrap up on one final question for you if I could. Mm-hmm. So I've interviewed nearly 500 people now, and I've come up with this idea of this entrepreneurial gap, which I think that we live in. As entrepreneurs, as dreamers, which I'm sure I can tell that you are, we're always like projecting our own personal and business successes into the future, which I agree we need to do. But the problem is that no matter what metric you set for yourself, Janisha, in 3 months when you're almost about to hit it, or in 6 months, you're going to set bigger, loftier ones into the future. And it's like you never quite get to where you want to be. So rather than looking forward right now, for the next couple of minutes, if you could stop, turn around and look behind you. We've talked about you and your business, but I'm sure we haven't hit all the highs, lows, wins, losses. But just tell me, how do you feel about this whole journey up until today?
Truly satisfying. Truly, I've seen my past does not equal to my future.
Past does not equal, meaning?
All the things that I've done before does not equal to my future. So just keep running until my bank account look like my phone number.
that's the goal. That's it.
I mean, of course, it's not just about money. It's always about empowering more women to succeed in their business and their life. But for me, there's definitely, like you said, an entrepreneurial gap. In fact, I just had the same discussion with a friend from China on the same exact question that you just asked. And I can say for sure that whenever we are about to reach a so-called goal, and then somehow the goalposts just automatically move like another 10 yards away or 100 yards away. So I can understand that there's never ending success or chasing our dreams and chasing our noble goals. However, I just want to say this for sure. Just know it in your gut live your day to the fullest and live your day with no regrets, because there could be no tomorrow.
Very well said. Very well said. All right, Janisha, we've talked about the business throughout here, sort of in passing, but could you now specifically tell the listener what it is you do for people, who you can help, and where to find you online?
Well, So Rich Woman is Southeast Asia's number one female entrepreneur network, helping women to go from offline to online, to get brand recognition, to attract more customers online, and to make a positive impact in the world. The place you can find me is at soulrichwoman.com. Go to soulrichwoman.com.
Very cool. Very cool. I will link to that in the show notes, as well as we'll find those 25 VA questions for you. Instagram is also a place where Soul Rich Woman hangs out. So we will link to that as well. Or if you're just on your phone right now, which you probably are, you could look it up yourself. Soul Rich Woman Asia, I believe, on Instagram.
Yes, that is right.
Awesome. Janisha, once again, thank you so much for stopping by. Thanks for sharing so openly. I truly do appreciate it. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it is truly awesome to watch.
Thank you very much.
All right. That was a lot of fun. It took us over 6 months, Janisha and I, to actually sync up our calendars and find time to get onto this call. Many, many reschedules and things. And I was wondering if it was ever going to happen. And then when it did happen, I wasn't even sure what to expect from this conversation. But I have to say that I was so excited and sort of invigorated during and then after this conversation, because I really, really enjoyed Janisha's attitude, the way she thinks about business and getting people, hiring people to help you. And I absolutely loved the way she walked through hiring a VA the correct way. So with all of that, it makes this part of the show hard, because I have to go through this entire conversation again and sift through all of the things that she said and choose one to talk about. But you know what? I'm up for the task. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Most business owners don't know who they want, and they don't know exactly what they want. So they have a tendency to hire someone to do every damn thing. So don't do that. You need to know exactly what skill sets you're looking for, and then go zoom in and look for that one person who can perform that one task or that one skill set really well.
And that's the hack. Janisha, Janisha, Janisha. I love this. I love this because I screwed it up for so many years. And it's really not easy. It's simple to hire people, but it's not easy at all. And Janisha's absolutely right. And it struck a chord with me, because I have absolutely, like she says, most business owners don't know who they want. I mean, we sometimes know that we want an assistant, I guess virtually, probably. So we need a virtual assistant, say, but we don't really know what it is we want them to do. And that doesn't work, because you need to hire the person for the position. You need to hire the person who is the right person for the job. And I've learned that we all think differently. Obviously, we all know that. But some of us are sales-minded. Some of us are more operations-minded. And I'm come from the sales side of things. And so I would hire I would love the person because they would think the way I did. And if I'm hiring for an operations position, that doesn't make sense, because those people, I don't fit into operations well, because it's too regimented and needs attention to detail. I don't have that. So you need to know exactly what it is you want done. Who do you need? What jobs do you need done? Sit down, write it out, tap it out into your phone, whatever it is, and then gather up and sort of see, you can't get somebody to do everything, but at least come up with 10 different tasks that this person's going to do. And now you can start formulating an idea of who the perfect person to do this job would be. Janisha, thank you so very, very much. All right, so in that conversation, Janisha mentioned that she has this 25 questions for VAs. You absolutely need to have questions ready for the person you are hiring. If you don't have any questions ready, This 25 is a brilliant place to start. You can find it at soulrichwoman.com. We'll try and find a link straight to it if we can. If we can't, you'll just have to go over there and get it for yourself. But please, for yourself and for me, do it if you are thinking about hiring anytime in the future. And try and not spend as many years as I did sort of screwing this process up over and over and over again. All right, well, that wraps us up. Hacktheentrepreneur.com, it's the site, as you know. Head over there, check out the blog if you wish. Grab a free copy of my book if you would like. Get onto the email list if that tickles your fancy. Whatever it is, it's all there for you. You can always track me down on Twitter, email, wherever it happens to be. If you have a question, if you want to follow up with something, if you have insights or comments, by all means, I'm all ears and I'd love to hear from you. So yeah, track me down on the social media stuff or email and we'll see where it goes. All right. As I said, I hope that you are enjoying your summer and, you know, until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.